All right. Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We are broadcasting today from Faithful Remnant Tower here in week 10 of the term. And I might just mention that we'll be on a term break for the next 2 weeks, so we won't have a Greek Club. But then in, I believe it's about the 7th or 8th of March would be Tuesday, somewhere in there, 6th, I can't quite remember. We'll resume again. We're broadcasting from Proleptic Resurrection Tower today because it's spring outside. And what is it supposed to be today? About 60 degrees, I think. And it's testimony to the ice that we've had that it's actually not all melted yet. So, but the warmth of God's word is warming our hearts, and that reminds me of verse 8. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, which is where we left off, as Paul here is continuing to describe his joy and how it came about that this reconciliation has been taking place between him and the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7, Paul said, talking about the fact that Titus had found him while he was on the mission trail, so to speak. Verse 7, he said, not only at Titus's appearing, his appearing, but also at the consolation by which he was consoled on the basis of you, so as to announce to us your desire, your mourning, your zeal on behalf of us, so that I rather rejoiced. And that brings us to the end of verse 7. So we'll get more of this kind of personal conversation, although there's some wonderful theology and pastoral applications as well. So verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Hati eikai elupeza humas ente epistole u metamelamai. Eikai met emelamein blepogar hati he epistole ekene eikai pros Horan elipezen humas, ... So this is a fairly long sentence, and there's a parenthetical comment in here. But it's not not too hard. I guess nothing is too hard once you figure it out, right? It's like everything is the last place you look for it. So Paul has just said, rather, I rejoice. Because, hati, Eikai is probably concessive, even if I grieved you, plural. Lupeo is a transitive verb. It means to grieve someone. So you grieve someone in the accusative. And I rather think this full transitive meaning is to be preserved throughout here, especially when we get to an interesting henna clause in the next verse. But because even if I grieved you, ente epistole, by my, or probably N plus the dative can do means, by means of my letter. U metamelamai, I am not sorry. I do not regret it. This is a verb. It can mean something as theological as repent. But here it probably means I don't regret or I'm not sorry. And now this is interesting. I think I've figured this out. Paul says, even if I... Now, metemelamein is an imperfect indicative from the same verb. It's a deponent verb, so that's why you have the secondary ending, main. Even if I was regretting, like this is sort of like a backward glimpse. Maybe I'll allow the fact that part of me was sorry that I had to write this letter, right? So even if I was regretting it, parenthesis, for I see that letter, Eikai, even if for an hour grieved you, close parentheses. So again, Paul, it's like Paul is, he's trying to say, I'm not happy. It didn't make me happy just to make you sad, right? That's not my purpose, right? And then the main thought picks up. So, we could actually skip from blepo to humas, and the thought would be, even if I was regretting it, and then verse 9, nun kairo, now I rejoice. So again, I think we sort of have to take this blepo huti clause as a parenthetical comment. So I'm not sorry, even if I was sorry or I used to be sorry, now that things have turned around in his relationship with them, Paul can say, I'm not sorry. And then he'll explain why in just a second. So once you get sort of that parenthetical force of the blepo clause, it kind of lays out fairly well, and we've got a kai, which doesn't always mean although, even if, but fairly often it does. So, good. Comments or questions on verse 8? Okay. We'll move on to verse 9. And by the way, I thought I would announce this too. I think this is true. Because of the generosity of donors, there is money in the bank for a major renovation of this part of the campus where we are now sitting, the dining area and so forth and so on. So I think we have one option would be to continue to meet in this room for Greek Club and have things cave in around our ears. The other option is to meet someplace else. And I think tomorrow it will be sort of decided where we'll meet. Those of you who are online probably won't notice too much of a difference. But you Greek Club faithfuls, pass the word, and I'll try to put it in daily announcements that we'll be. I think we might be down where the game room is, actually. But that won't be the game room anymore. So anyway, many thanks to generous people with money who have given some of it to Concordia Seminary. So we're grateful. In fact, we could say nun kairomen. Now we rejoice. But that brings us to verse 9, which finishes off the sentence, and I'll just read it in Greek. Nun kairo uk hati elupetheta al hati elupetheta eis metanoian. Elupetheta gar katatha an. Hina me en medeni zemiotheta ex hemon. So, even if I grieved you, Paul says, now I rejoice. Why? Not because you were grieved. And let's keep that fully passive voice of the transitive verb there. Not that you were grieved, but that you were grieved unto repentance, toward or for, resulting in repentance. Ace plus the accusative. For, Paul says, you were grieved according to God, which probably means something like in a godly way or in a God-pleasing way. And why were you grieved like this? Now, interestingly, and this is kind of what I was hinting at a minute ago, it's a purpose clause. You were grieved this way, and I think we could ultimately say that Paul is claiming, through me, God grieved you in order that you might not suffer a loss in anything from us or because of us. This is the way God worked it out the way he did, because his purpose was not that we would cause you to really lose anything, to suffer the loss of anything, which is the force of the passive of zemiao. So that's not too bad. Questions, comments, lots of repetitive vocabulary, which is always helpful, right? Okay, verse 10. Hegar katatha an lipe metanion a esoterion a metameleton ergadzatai. Heda tu kosmu lipe thanaton kat ergadzatai. You know, I'm just thinking here, and I'll mention this. I don't know if this is the case, but I've been working in 1 Corinthians with one of my classes. And this is, of course, the letter where Paul eschews the wisdom of a word. You know, I did not come to you with the wisdom of a word. And part of what's going on in the context is, to use a technical phrase, fancy-schmancy rhetoric. Impressive, highfaluting, we would say highfalutin, right? And what has actually struck me in working again through some texts in 1 Corinthians and also here is just how, relatively speaking, and don't hurt me when I say this, relatively speaking, how simple this Greek is. The sentences are short. He asks simple questions. And, you know, when you compare this to Ephesians or to Galatians or another author, but Hebrews, you know, I actually wonder if it's not that Paul can't be complex or sophisticated with a small s. I wonder if he's actually writing simpler Greek, more of a blue-collar Greek. It's not like John's gospel, which is very Semitic. You know, a lot of short clauses linked by chi, right? But I just keep noticing just how short these sentences are compared to others of the Pauline epistles. So I couldn't prove it, but I just wonder if he's changing his style because he wants to avoid any impression of being like those sophisticated rhetors that are so influential in and those official those people own cell phones. Yeah, right. So anyway, verse 10, we didn't translate yet. For the according to God grief, nice example of how a prepositional phrase can be put into attributive position. For the according to God grief, now that you have to go down a little bit ways to get the verb, works, katergazetai, katergazetai is middle deponent, so it takes an accusative object, and the object is repentance, metanoion. Now let's modify metanoion. We've got an adjective, a metameleton, and you can see that this is related to metamelomai, which we've just seen means to regret. So this adjective means not to be regretted. You just put an a in front of it, right, to negate it. It's called the alpha privative. So the according to God grief works repentance which is not to be regretted. And then in between the noun and the adjective is a prepositional phrase, unto salvation, which I think is also, because it's stuck in the middle, is probably acting like an adjective. It's not a big difference, but remember that the choice between with prepositional phrases is often, are they adverbs or adjectives, right? So if it were an adverb, which is possible, it would be translated something like, for the grief which is according to God works for salvation, a not-to-be-regretted repentance. If it's adjectival, which I actually suspect it is because it's stuck between the noun and the other adjective, then the translation would be something like, works a repentance which is for salvation and which is not to be regretted. Again, it's not a huge difference in meaning, but it's the kind of thing that I suppose one notices. And then the contrast there, just introduced by de, which is flexible, but here clearly means but. The of the world grief, the grief which is the world's kind, it's not according to God, but it's of the world, death works. So a pretty clear contrast there. Again, pretty short sentences. You know, one main verb, right, with a few things. Where's my participles? Where's my articular infinitives? Where are all those things? So, good. Comments on verse 10 or anything at all? By the way, we have the keyboard player here from, do you guys have a name, Bill?
Yeah, I thought you're so good at coming up with these rock band names. I was hoping you'd come up with one.
How about, okay, I do. We had a Valentine's dinner and dance on Friday night, sponsored by the Seminary Women's Association. And we had a keyboard and drums and a bass and two saxes and a trumpet, I think. Is that right? Yeah, I think you guys should be called the Orthodox Groove. Don't you think? Yeah, and it was really nice. And usually, forgive me, and I'm just taking my little bully pulpit here, usually at these events they play loud, inane rock and roll, which is impossible to dance to. You just sway or put your fingers in your ears. And your wife gets frustrated because you keep saying to her, no, sweetie, we can't dance to this. It's not real music. However, on Friday night, we had many, many instances of real music. So, and now the Greek club people out in cyberspace are going, would you just get on with it? The answer is, no, I can't get on with it. I had to say that. Yes, Bill.
Why wasn't ergazetai used on the in the second part of the verse? You know, the lute pometon.
I don't know. Yeah, why does he use Kater Gadzatai? Yeah, I don't know. It may just be a stylistic variation. I'm guessing, I didn't even look, to be honest, but I'm looking at the flag on the play for the first verb in verse 10, and yep, there it is. Scribes thought that they would make them the same, right? So they actually supply Kater Gadzatai. You know, there are probably so many sort of subtle verbal clues. This is an oral culture, right? People are hearing this. Most of the Christians, most people in the Roman Empire can't read. So, yeah, it's a good question. So what I'll say is code language. I'll say, you've raised an important question, but we don't have time to go into it right now, which means, of course, I don't know. Yeah, so... But it is a good question. And thank you for caring. All right, verse 11. Edugar ata tuta ta kata thean lipethenai pasing kat er gasata humin spadain Allah apalagian Allah aganaktezen Allah faban Allah epipathesen Allah zelon Allah ekdikesen. And Pontus sin esteza te heotus hagnus enai to pragmata. For behold, I think I got this worked out. The noun here is the articular infinitive, the according to God to be grieved. That's the noun. That's the subject of the verb. And now tuta is just the demonstrative. This being grieved according to God, and then auta is intensifying. This very act of being grieved according to God worked. Does that make sense? I mean, the article turns the infinitive into a noun, and in this case, it's the subject of the verb kat er gasata. And again, auta, and we'll take it here as... What a predicate position intensifies. So for behold, this very act of being grieved according to God worked so great among you earnestness. So pazain is an adjective modifying spudain. And again, what Paul is referring to here is their genuine repentance and their zeal to be restored in their relationship with the apostle. So it worked so great zeal or earnestness. And now Paul will just heap up accusatives, which are all kind of in apposition to spudain. Or, if you want to make it even harder, you could say he wants us to repeat this being grieved, worked this, worked this, worked this. And so he contrasts. It's really quite strong using Allah every time. So it worked among you such earnestness, rather defense, presumably the defense of the apostle and his teaching, rather indignation, it's vocab time, right? We just look these words up, right? Rather fear, rather desire, rather zeal, rather vindication, or word can even mean vengeance. And again, as Paul is about, I think he's about to say this, to be honest, I didn't work through the chapter. This is where he has to say, okay, you remember that guy that I told you to cast out of the fellowship because this is likely the case anyway, he was living with his father's wife, right? Okay, you've been hard enough, see? So they actually responded to Paul, but they sort of over-responded. Right, and he's going to restore things to a little bit of a balance. But this is the response that was worked in them by their grief. And then another short sentence. In everything, he says, or I suppose you could say in every way, sun estesa, this is from sun isteme, and it's the weak aorist indicative active. You can see the principal part would be esteza, sin esteza. And this form of the verb is transitive, so it can take a direct object, and the direct object is yourselves. in every way. You, synestimi, means, among other things, to present. So you presented yourselves. Anai is the infinitive of the linking verb. To be hagnus, pure. Right? Now a dative, literally, with respect to the pragma. And pragma here probably translates as to the matter, to what was going on in the congregation. So that's verse 11. So again, grammatically, not too complex. We did have a little bit of a rhetorical flourish there with all these Allah plus the accusatives. Questions? Comments? All right. I'm in the mood. So, verse 12. Ara ekai egrapsa humin. Uk henikan tu adikesantes. Ude henikan tu adikethentas. Al henikan tu phanerothenai tain spudain humon. Tain hiper hemon. Prasumas enopian tu theu. Pronoun assault, right? Let's make sense of this. Therefore, Ara, even if I wrote to you this, you know, hard letter, this harsh thing, not for the sake of, or not because of, the one who wronged. Adekao means to wrong someone. And presumably it... let's see, there's a flag on the play. I was hoping it might be the pronoun me, but it's not. Not for the sake, I didn't write for the sake of the one who wronged, nor for the sake of the one who was wronged. There's the passive of the same verb, the passive participle. Rather, for the sake of the to be manifested, your earnestness, which is on behalf of us, toward you, in the presence of God. Right. Nice shoulder shrug there, Ruth. That was good. Again, the infinitive, phane rothenai, this is the aorist infinitive passive of phane rao, right? And it's turned into a noun by the article in front of it. For the sake of, or because the... For the sake that zeal be manifested, that would be the basic, not zeal, but earnestness, spudain, right? So spudain there is the accusative case subject of the passive voice infinitive. And at this point, it feels like week 10 in the term, which it is. Because of the zeal to be manifested, whose zeal? Your zeal. Now let's describe zeal. The on behalf of us zeal. See the article repeated there? The tain makes on behalf of us adjectival to spudain. Your zeal, which is on our behalf, and it's manifested toward you or in relationship to you, prasimas, and it's manifested in the presence of God. That's why I wrote. That's what I really cared about. It wasn't because of the person who wronged me. It even wasn't for the sake of the person who was being wronged, which may actually refer to Paul himself. It was because of the manifestation of your zeal. That's what I was after, of your earnestness, right? And then verse 13, which is a nice place to stop, actually, and it's very short. Dia tuta para keklemetha. Because of this, now this is a great form. This is from para kaleo, okay? And you can spot the stem. It's got the duplication on the front, the ke. And then there's no connecting vowel. This is a perfect indicative middle or passive. Here, passive. First person plural. On account of this, we have been and are in a continued ongoing state of having been encouraged, right? And if you translate it like that in your English Bibles, the English Bible would be a lot longer. So, all right. Okay, and this is where we'll stop, and we'll pick up here in the middle of verse 13. And again, we will not meet for 2 weeks. But then, God willing, we'll meet when the spring term resumes in early March. Thank you very much.